city may require burial of the lines, but must pay the difference in cost, so they've supplied some numbers. The rebuild cost of the proposed project is just under $1 million. The buried cost is over $11 million, so the difference is just over $10 million, which is a big difference. And that estimate does cover the cost of burying underneath the Lundin property, for instance, instead of having a draw pole. Because it just doesn't make sense to go up and down.
And what's the city's budget, total budget?
City's total budget, how I want to say around $6 million in a year. It's a, we went through this process of trying to gather money to bury the poles at 970 South and Ward's Lane, Streamtown. And, you know, there was money that was promised, but to get the numbers they were looking for, which was about double this, by the way, you know, it really wasn't very close to gathering that money. And state code is specific that you have to pay that money within 30 days of when construction begins, so it's kind of a limited time frame to be able to gather the funds. So it's difficult to do is what it comes down to. Not impossible, but very difficult to do that.
Are they required to bond or anything to do this work?
So, not from the city's side do we require any bonding. I'm not aware of any bonding from the state side either. I'm not an expert on the state requirements.
So if they were to come in and damage property or easements or whatever, that's between?
It's really a civil matter between that property owner and the utility company.
And no franchise fee or any type of other fee? Because I guess it's air, I don't know.
Well, we have franchise agreements with other utility providers, but we don't have any for the transmission lines that go through town. So.
Michael, since these lines currently run across it's hole 4 and 5 of the Homestead Golf Course, have they weighed in on how they feel about those poles being much larger in the middle of their fairways?
So I've talked to the Homestead a lot, and we've never had a discussion on the transmission lines, so they haven't expressed any concerns with me about it.
It'll just make a different sound when you hit that pole versus a steel pole. That's really the big difference.
So there's a required public hearing when this item goes to the city council, and so there's 1,000 letters that goes out. It's a lot of letters.
I got one.
I was going to say, Laura, you'll get one.
I already got one for this, yeah.
So we've got a lot of letters that will be sent out, and the Homestead will obviously receive a letter at that point if for some reason they're not aware of the upgrade. There has been a round of letters that have gone out for that voluntary meeting that they go with.
Tom and I were the only ones that were there.
So there will be more notice. We actually, for that meeting, there was actually some A-frames put out to try to invite people to that voluntary meeting that they held, neighborhood meeting. So far, we haven't received a lot of questions about it. So I'll go through some findings, then I'll go through Rocky Mountain Power's presentation. They'll be back next month, I'm sure, to give it themselves. But the proposal is an administrative review and approval, so there's not a lot of discretion with this. We've already got a code in place. We're really looking to make sure our code is being met with this item, and then looking at any reasonable conditions. The proposed use is a conditional use, and the city may impose reasonable conditions to mitigate identified issues. Proposal includes taller poles that will be visible to residents of Midway, visitors of Midway, and the surrounding residents of Wasatch County. So that's a fact that the poles will be taller. The purpose of the proposal is to reduce the probability of utility-related wildfires and to mitigate damage to electrical facilities because of wildfire. So those are the reasons they've stated that they're proposing this. And state code, again, has changed in recent years to require utility companies to plan for disaster events. So they're really following state code in that aspect. You know, one thing our general plan really promotes is, you know, the safety of our residents. This is something that we've seen 2 fires, at least in my lifetime, on this mountain that have taken lives, and we want to make sure we don't have any more wildfires. And electrical poles is one thing that can start a wildfire, and it disrupts everybody's lives when you don't have power for days, and it did happen when I was younger that the poles were burned over here coming up Provo Canyon, and so just left in the dark for quite a while. look at it and make sure that we can mitigate any negative impacts that are reasonable.
Yeah, excuse me, Michael. How do these poles cause fires?
Yeah, so I've asked that question because some of the wildfires in California were started from
right.
transmission line poles. And they'll be able to answer in greater detail, but yeah, there's enough electricity that runs through them that, you know, if conditions are correct, some vegetation can be ignited. And that's what did happen in California. So part of this is also clearing the area where the poles run mm-hmm. to help avoid that situation.
So
having greater insulators on the poles
yeah.
really helps a lot.
Right.
That's part of this project.
So it's basically sparks coming down from the wires or the transformers or whatever's up there.
I think
so. I'll have to have them answer if it's actually
yeah.
sparks or not that makes that happen, but in some way that does happen.
I think a bird lands on it, starts on fire.
So just a thought that I have, Michael, nothing more than I think just hearing from them is all, because they talk about the diameter of the poles and the height of the poles,
yeah.
but with the increased rigidity that steel could provide, I mean, what about the actual pole infrastructure on top? Because the pole could maybe be bigger and wider instead of just being maybe two small lines. Maybe it's almost going to be what it's going to be. I feel like that all of these issues are like, oh, you could pay $11 million, which money you don't have, or this is what we're going to do. A little bit,
really
which I mean what it is, but just more of curiosity is mm-hmm. all that. I know we're talking about diameter and then height.
Yeah.
We know the height's going to be higher, but what about the actual
yeah,
breadth of the pole and
yeah.
the infrastructure that you see on
above,
top?
Above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of just, it's
from
on my
pole
mind,
to
is all pole
what's
to
happening
pole.
From
yeah.
pole to pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some pictures coming up that we'll see some of that. The fire issue, too, one thing that happened in California quite a bit were just branches blowing onto lines, and that started a lot of the fires. So it's having that clear air around the poles that's very important.
Well, I know in California also, they would literally turn the power off because the winds were so high.
Yeah.
yeah.
So a lot of the power outages were just because they were trying to prevent a forest fire.
Yeah, and that's actually part of this plan also, is they will cut off power if conditions are, they're bad conditions.
So height doesn't guarantee service.
That is correct. It probably
and new poles
helps
don't.
Make it so
yeah.
there's better service, but it doesn't guarantee it. So wildfire trends, fire season across western United States increased by nearly 6 weeks over a 20-year span, so 1992 to 2012. Megafires, more than 100,000 acres, increased threefold in the last 10 years. Utah's one of the most wildfire-prone states in the United States and experienced an upward trend of wildfire size over the past 50 years. Areas of greatest potential loss from wildfire are located in the wildland-urban interface that continues to expand with Utah's growing population. So we have more people building in areas where there's potential for wildfire. Trends in acres burned by wildfire are projected to increase in Utah as temperatures warm and incidence of drought increases. So Utah Hazard Mitigation Plan, wildfires in Utah become a significant problem, impacting state and local economies, infrastructure, and environment, and the private landowners. And then Utah Wildland Fire Policy has shifted from fire suppression to risk reduction. And then the policy focuses on prevention, preparedness, and mitigation. So, program developed by the state. The foundation plan, utilizing fire threat modeling concept, areas were identified in Utah where there is an elevated risk of utility-associated wildfires to occur and spread rapidly, and where communities face an elevated risk of damage or harm from wildfires. So, fire high consequence areas are used to prioritize wildfire mitigation initiatives, such as increased inspection, system hardening, and modified operating practices. So you can see this area here is Utah fire consequence area, and we're kind of in this area right here. So assessment factors, fuel presence of dry brush, historic weather data, topography, fire suppression response, fire history, and then spatial isolation and fire breaks. And then the impact to people, property, communities at risk, presence of critical points. And then there's 699 miles of Rocky Mountain power lines through fire high consequence areas. So, and a lot of it's concentrated in this area. What is Rocky Mountain Power doing to mitigate wildfire risk? So, as wildfires become more frequent and intense throughout the West, protecting the communities will serve while we serve while providing safe, reliable power. It's our highest priority. Maintaining the safety of our system has always been at the center of our wildfire preparedness plans. As wildfires become a growing threat, we are seeking out new ways we can be even more vigilant, helping to create new best practices. And then operational practices include enhanced vegetation management, enhanced inspections, training for field personnel, and the use of enhanced protection and control settings. And the fourth one, system modifications include installing insulated conductors, construction standard changes, installing non-spark equipment, so fuses, avian deterrents, and lightning arresters. And then public safety power shutoffs in some areas, so that's where they will shut off power if they need to. So this is the Judge to Midway transmission rebuild. So got the Judge substation located where this point is here, and then you've got the Midway substation here. So north is over here on the left. The green line below shows the existing 46 kV transmission line from the Judge substation in Park City to the Midway substation in Midway. The new line will follow the same alignment pole for pole. The new line will be operated by the same voltage as existing, so 46 kV. So again, some pictures. The rebuild of the new transmission lines will be pole for pole in the existing alignment. Existing wood structures will be replaced with cord and steel structures. Will weather and blend well with surroundings. New structures will have longer insulators due to the longer insulators as well as more stringent wildfire design standards. Steel structures will be about on average 10 feet taller. And then the project, March of 2024, completion October 2024. And some of their contact information. So again, that's their presentation. If the Planning Commission decides to continue the item, then I'm sure they'll be here next month and they'll be able to answer a lot of questions.
Hey, Michael, didn't their presentation have pictures of our existing poles alongside the proposed poles, or was that you that put that in there?
So
the staff report included that.
Just for comparison of existing to proposed.
So the documents that they were provided to me, and that's one thing I asked for when they handed in their application. I wanted some comparison. So yeah, I don't have any slides of those.
Okay.
Put those on for next time.
So these arms are longer on the new poles.
The insulators
are the corkscrew.
Those are bigger.
Yeah.
Any idea how far that sticks out?
Taller and wider.
I don't know how.
That's
why
it'd be handy to have them here to kind of ask them some of those questions.
Does that change the easement? Because I know they have a working ground easement.
So if it sticks out further,
insulators go out. That's got to widen.
Isn't it usually around 25 feet right now? 25 feet each side of the pole?
It's usually center line. It's so 12.5, 12.5.
Oh, okay.
Insulator increases.
Oh, it's a good point. I mean, based on the discussion and all the questions, I'm ready to make a motion that we continue this until the Rocky Mountain Power representative can come and answer these questions, because I think we have several.
Yeah, so before that, any other questions for Michael before we actually call for a motion? I have one other question. It's probably for them, but there was mention of the possible need to create new, roads or access points into the power line. Do you know anything about that? Because that could be kind of unsightly if they're cutting new roads.
That's why my question was, do they have to bond? Because if they go in there and rip through